On peace. Brother Mark Fowler just reminded me that last time I taught, I said if I ended early, you guys can go get donuts and come back. I don't know if that'll be the case today. I've got a lot of ground to cover here, and I want to try and cover it as much as possible. So today we're talking about peace, as I mentioned before. And before we get started, let's just say a word of prayer that God would quicken his word to our hearts, to our minds. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Touch us, O Lord God, this day. Touch our hearts, our minds, O Lord Jesus. As we hear your word, O Lord, quicken it to our minds. Quicken it to our hearts, O Lord God, so that we would leave this place today changed, O Lord Jesus, understanding your word, Lord God, more than we do already. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 is our focus verse this morning, and the word of God says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, that's a very challenging verse in the word of God, especially that last part that says, and nothing shall offend them, because that's the Bible. It's very real. I heard a message preached not too long ago, probably a couple of years ago, and it was actually preached by Brother Eli Hernandez. And his whole message was about not being offended. He talked about how we as children of God, as a people of God, should not be offended. And when he started off with that, it challenged your mind right away, because in the world in which we live, okay, offense is taken seriously. We get offended at this, that, and the other. Everyone gets offended very quickly. But as we go through the word of God today, and as we go through this lesson, I hope we can walk away understanding that this is a primary reason, the primary way that we don't get offended, and that is the closer that we get to God is the less offended we'll be at things that happen to us or that's happening in the world. The closer we grow to God. And that also is a challenge, because if you find yourself, and if we find ourselves getting offended a lot, or if even if people around us see us getting offended often, one of the things that basically is a barometer of how close we are to the Lord, where we are in God. You know, if someone says something to you and it sets you, and it's to me, and it sets me off very, very quickly, then it's a barometer. As I was looking over this lesson this week, some parts during my work week at work, I saw something happening, and something happened, and I got offended by it. And it was basically, I don't know if it was being offended or my pride was getting hurt by something that I saw that was happening. And it took me, and I'm going to just be very transparent. I thought about it, and then the next morning in prayer, I prayed about it, and I brought it to the Lord, and I opened my heart to Him and talked to Him about it. And He really that's when He basically the Lord started revealing to me the following day is that you being offended, it's your pride being stepped on. It's your pride being hurt. And these things have to happen to us so that we can bring it to the Lord, so that we can allow Him to take care of the things that are happening in our lives. And we'll get to some things here with the disciples that are very relevant to what we go through and what they went through. You know, the Bible talks about that in the Word of God, that people of old in the Word, they have like passions like we do. And that's why anyone who says that the word of God is not relevant today really don't know what they're talking about. It's very, very relevant, because when we look at what the disciples and the prophets went through, they felt the same way we feel. They asked the same questions that we asked. And we're going to see in a little bit how Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas, one of the other disciples of the Lord, asked a question to Jesus, the kind of question that we ourselves would probably ask, are probably asking Him today. And the way He answered the question, He never directly answered Judas's question. He changed Judas's attention from the question that he asked him to something else. And basically what he was saying is, Judas, that is not your concern. Your concern is me. Your concern is reaching the world. And I'm sure it challenged Judas very much. So if you want to turn your Bibles, it'll be up on the wall. John chapter 14, verses 23 through 27. We'll be going through these verses in a little bit. But so we're talking about peace today, and peace in troubled times. And how many can say that we live in troubled times? Okay? So we can't allow the turmoil that is in our world to rob us of our peace. Okay? We must not allow the turmoil around us to make us call God's sovereignty into question. And if we're honest with ourselves today, we can say, you know what? Sometimes when it gets too tough, I'm asking the Lord, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Why is this situation happening to me? But we have to understand that God is sovereign. He allows anything that he wants to allow to happen, and even if we don't understand it. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7 is one of those scriptures that are in the Bible that you probably wish that wasn't there. And we'll read it together. I don't have it written down, so I'm going to... It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The part of it that we probably don't want to be in there... and create evil. Think about that for a moment. Everything that is happening in this world right now is according to God's plan. The evil that, this is going to challenge it, challenges our mind. The evil that is happening in this world is happening according to God's plan. The word of God says, I create evil. I remember hearing a message on that years ago, and it really, after I heard the message, I thought to myself, have I read that in the Bible before? Is that really there? It's there. It taught the preacher was preaching about how God makes evil. And he started listing all of these things, and God created evil. And so with that verse in mind, as we think about that, think about it this way. We have computers, and computers get viruses, and they're firewalls that go up to protect. And the firewall that we have is the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the definition meaning of firewall is this, and I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to get it exactly. I saw it, looked it up yesterday, and not going to get it exactly as Merriam-Webster might do, but this is the basic meaning of a firewall that's in your computer, is that it forms a wall and it protects viruses, it protects things from coming in to infect the computer, but it protects things from coming in, but doesn't stop anything from going out. So the definition on that is, for us, when we are close to God, he'll protect the evil from coming into us because of the power of the Holy Ghost. But then the passageway for us is for us to tell the world about him. See, it doesn't stop us from speaking out. It doesn't stop us from being a witness, but it does protect us from coming in and from evil coming in. And there are antivirus software that you have to download every once in a while. If your computer goes through those annoying times that you have to sit down and allow the virus to, or it slows down your computer a little bit for your protection, to protect your computer, our antivirus software is reading the word and praying. Every day, we should be downloading the word of God into our hearts and into our minds. Every day, we should be downloading by praying. Now, that takes time for us to sit. It takes times for us to wait on the Lord, just like we sit in front of a computer. Sometimes it slows down, and it's like, man, I wish this. And sometimes we just click it away and say, we'll do that later. And sometimes that's what happens that we do. We click it away, and we're like, the time that we're supposed to spend reading the word of God or studying his word, we kind of push it off to the side. I'll get at that later. But we have to understand that That's the process of God downloading into us so that he can allow, so that he can protect us, so that we can have that peace from the world that's around us. Because there's a lot of evil that is happening in our world today, and we need to be protected from that. So it's, you know, God created evil. Computer programmers create code. They write code, okay? And so anyone who can get to that code and unravel that code can allow your computer to be infected with a virus. God wrote the code on life. God wrote the code on evil. So guess what? If he wrote the code on evil, he knows how to protect us from that evil. He knows exactly what software to give us. He knows exactly what to give us in prayer. He knows exactly what to give us when we read the word and get our daily bread from him to protect us from the evil that's to come that particular day in our lives. I was reminded during one of probably last week when I was doing one of my, reading a devotion, and the devotion said that, reminded me to every day that before I go out to remember to say, to pray in my prayer, say, Lord, you know exactly what I'm going to face today. You know the conversations I'm going to have. You know the situations I'm going to face. You are already there. When I get there, guide my tongue. Strengthen my heart and my mind so that when I get into that situation, help me to make the right decision. Okay? And that's how we download from the Lord each day. So God created evil. And he knows how to protect us from evil. So peace is a piece of the, of no pun intended, but peace is a piece of the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's found in Galatians 5:22. Okay? Peace also involves living up to the potential that God has designed humans to fulfill. It includes both inner tranquility and positive action to maintain peace in our relationships with others. Everyone loves a peaceful story. You know, when you read a story or you hear about anything, everyone wants a wonderful ending. You want to be, and that is because human beings are built. We're built for our end and for the end of a story, for the end of a situation to work out well. We're not built so that we go through a situation, we read a story, and at the end it's all calamity and chaos. You when you read a story like that, it's like, oh man, I didn't want it to end like that. Why did I even read this? You know, have you ever read a book like that and the end of the story, it's just like fell flat and you're disappointed? Well, you feel that way because we're wired for the ending to turn out well in every situation. And thank God we have an ending for us, that God has created an ending that works out very well. And we see in that how God does that. And so he puts love in our hearts and allows us and downloads peace into us, gives us the opportunity to get that peace from him that will help us every day. And that peace is brought on by true love. Love, when we love the Lord, when we love the Lord like we should, when we love our neighbor like we should, two greatest commandments, we have peace in our hearts. God will give us peace. I thought about this the other day, and it says, could it be that a person who espouses chaos is one who is comfortable with evil? Could it be that a person who espouses chaos is one who is comfortable with evil? Because guess what brings chaos? Evil. Evil brings chaos. The peace of God brings tranquility. The peace of God brings tranquility to our mind and to our hearts. So when we search the scriptures, we don't have to look very far to see God talking about peace and the word of God speaking about peace. The truth is that despite all their valiant efforts, humans will never be able to find peace apart from the right relationship with God. The world can sign all the peace agreements that they want to sign. But without God, that peace agreement will not hold. In fact, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up in what's happening in the world and we want everything to go perfect. And there's nothing wrong with that. The fact of the matter is that humans are inherently just sinful. So you can have the best intentions to sign about peace and bring about peace in your family, bring about peace in the world. But at some point in time, somebody is going to look to break that. This is how evil mankind is. In the scripture, in Revelation, 1,000 years of peace on the earth. We're ruling and reigning with God. What happens after 1,000 years of peace? The enemy rises up, convinces some people to turn against God. Now, why would you want to do, why as a human being, and this is really, I don't want to make us sad for about us as humans, but the Bible does say the heart is wicked above all else. Who can know it? But you think about it. After 1,000 years of peace, why would anyone allow the enemy to come and stir them up to go against the Almighty God and his saints? You think about mankind and the way that we are without God. Because with God, he gives us that peace to be able to live our lives for him and to be able to be successful. Okay? In John chapter 14, verse 22, this is where Judas asks the question to Jesus. And we're going to see what the answer is in a few moments. Judas says, "Lord, how is it that thou shalt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" See, Judas now was, and the disciples were, the Messiah is here. He's going to protect us. He's coming to set up his kingdom on earth. He's going to set up his kingdom, this Roman oppression, this Roman authority that we're now under. We're going to be now under the rulership and authority of God. He's coming to set up his kingdom, get rid of evil. And that's why Judas asked this question. He asked the question, how is it that you're only showing this to us, but not to anybody else? But in his thinking, what he was doing in his mind, the underlying reason for him asking that question is, Lord, when are you going to set up your kingdom? When are you going to allow us to be your soldiers so that we can fight against the Romans and rule and reign the way that you said that we are expecting you to rule and reign? Okay? So, but they were concerned, their concern was legitimate. The concern is that Jesus is teaching them, and he's teaching them that he's going to leave. You think about that for a moment. Here it is, their entire lives, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. And because the Bible and the scripture tells them that he's going to rule and reign, he's going to set up his kingdom. And here they are walking with him, talking with him, and now they've reached this peak and the demons are being cast out, people are being healed, all of this is happening, wonderful things are happening, and all of a sudden he starts talking about, I'm going away. Now you think about that for a moment. You're with the Lord, everything is working good, you're feeding the 5,000, multiplying fishes and loaves. You've never seen anything like this in your life. Miracles after miracles after miracles, and he starts teaching them, I have to leave. And to them, that like totally shatters their entire world, shatters what they've been taught, shatters what they have been expecting all this time, okay? And so that was Judas's worry. That was his concern, because here's Judas asking a question. Why also? Because Judas is worrying about the future. Well, if you're going away, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be oppressed. We're going to be cast down. We're going to be become a minority in this world. We're going to be fought against. And that was his concern about the future. And so, like Judas, we all have concerns about our future. We're concerned about our financial future. We're concerned about if we're sick and if a disease happens to us. God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with the kids that I'm raising in this evil world that is out there? What's going to happen with all of these things? Lord, how is this all going to work out? The world around us is getting more and more evil. The politics, government, everywhere you look, people are just evil. Things are not happening. So it's like Judas, we're asking a question, Lord, what's going on with all of this? I thought that things were going to be changing. And so come what may, we must place our confidence in God's goodness and his ability to ensure all things work together. In Romans 8:28, one of our favorite scriptures, it says, all things, we use that part of the verse a lot. It says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We must have confidence in God and his word. And confidence in God and his word comes by faith. Faith is not necessarily easy, but we've all been given a measure of faith. Every single person on this planet. Someone stood here not too long ago, I forgot who it was that preached a message, and when they got to a part in their message that said that everyone in this world is given a measure of faith. And it right away blew my mind, because my thinking left just the people of God and our faith, and it went out into the people of the world. Everyone has faith in something. So when God created all of us, we've all been given a measure of faith. Before we're saved and after we're saved, we have faith. The thing is that we have to put our faith in God. We have to learn to put our faith in God. The faith that the world has is faith in things that they see. The word of God tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So whatever is happening in our lives, whatever is happening to us, we have to rely on that faith to trust in the Lord that he's working all things together for our good. And it's not just a joke. He's working everything together for our good. Lasting peace only comes from God. The world is looking for peace in all the wrong places. That's why people try drugs. That's why people go to alcohol. That's why people have illicit sexual relations. That's why they turn to violence. That's why they do all of these things. It's to satisfy a need in their life for peace. And so when they try all of these other things now, it kind of brings to them a temporary satisfaction. And the word of God also says that there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. And after that season ends, people continue to try and do more and more things to bring peace and satisfaction to their lives. But not so for us as a people of God. We have to walk in that peace. We have to know that peace comes from God. The disciples were desperate for Jesus to establish his kingdom on earth, as I mentioned before. And this is the answer that God manifested in Jesus Christ gave to Judas in his answer. In John chapter 14, verse 19, he says, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. That's coming off of that, that's what Jesus said before Judas asked him that question. Now the answer comes in a little bit later on, where Jesus now answers Judas, and he says, let me find it here for a moment. So Judas was very disappointed. And Jesus answers, he says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Judas wanted to know why Jesus had revealed his true identity to a small inner circle only while allowing the larger world to remain in the dark. In Jesus' answer, this is what we see. In 23 through 24, it's not written out here, but we'll read it. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, you answer me this. How is that an answer to what Judas just asked Jesus? He asked him the question, Lord, why is it that you only manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus goes into this. And if you're Judas and the rest of the disciples, you're sitting there like, what? That's not what I asked him. But here's what Jesus is trying to impress. And I'll read it because the notes put it here really well. It says, in answering Jesus, we see him gently redirecting Judas's attention to the more critical issue, okay, of loving him, keeping his words. It seems Jesus was telling Judas and the others present that what would be important in the future would be whether they obeyed him, loved him, had a relationship with him, not which nation had political power in Palestine. And the reason why, and what was happening in the day is that this was a time of peace when Jesus was on earth, really walking. Romans were in charge. They were in charge. It was peaceful. But see, the Romans' peacefulness, how they brought about peace, was by force. Their peace was brought about by force. So anyone that would try to rise up and challenge their authority, they would suppress them. And so this is where the thinking and the mind of Judas and the disciples are coming in. Lord, when are you going to bring this your kingdom on earth? And so they're thinking in their mind, force. They're thinking in their mind, what the Romans do is what I'm expecting you to do. But Jesus is totally shifts the thinking. Like they call it a paradigm shift. Totally shifting the thinking and telling Judas and the disciples, this is not about what's happening in the world. It's about what I want to happen in my kingdom. It's not about which government is in charge. It's not about who's in charge. It's about the fact that I'm in charge and your responsibility is, and our responsibility today is to love God, have a relationship with him, love each other, reach the world. That's what Jesus' answer to Judas was. So Judas was thinking earthly, temporary, present. God totally changed it to heavenly, future, and present. Changing his mind by, it's not about attacking your enemies. It's not about putting this one down. It's not about who's in charge in politics. It's not about that. Jesus is saying to Judas and the disciples and to us today, what he's saying is that I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself, and the great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus turned it away from Judas because Judas was thinking about self. He was thinking about now, us. What we have to remember in living for the Lord is that this is not about us. I understand John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave it to us. To him, it's about us. To us, it's got to be about him. It's never about what's happening in our world. It's never about where we are and what we're doing. It's all about God. It's all about pleasing him. It's all about living for him. It's all about reaching our world. Because when God looks down every day, he sees a bunch of lost people that he created. He sees a sinful world, and he wants us to reach it. We are like the disciples were, that small group of people that Jesus was saying to them, reach your world. Same thing, the plan has not changed. That's why the Bible does not contradict itself in any way. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same instructions that he gave to the disciples, the same instructions that the apostles gave to the churches in the New Testament is the same instructions that we have today. What does that have to do with peace? Well, it has to do with peace like this. When we're trusting in God and we take our thinking off of us and what's going on in our world and we put it on him, we have the peace that we need from God. Whatever we have to do, you know, in this world you hear the power of positive thinking. And that's all well and good. But here's what the power of positive thinking does. it only creates for you a temporary relief that is for this world. Us as children of God, we need to have faith. Faith contributes to our eternity. When we have faith and we trust in the Lord, it's more than positive thinking. Okay? It's more than just me thinking good and things are going to happen. I'm just going to wake up every day and this is going to work out. Things are going to be good. And I'm just going to speak words of positive thinking and say nothing negative. But that has nothing to do with our salvation. That's only for the temporary. We as children of God need to have the faith in the Lord so that when things happen, I was telling the young people a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit and how we need to memorize scriptures in the Bible. We need to know the word. We need to know the word so that when things come in our life, it's not positive thinking. It's a scripture that we're quoting. We're quoting the word of God. We're quoting that, Lord, you're with me always. And I'm all over my notes right now. I don't even know where I am. But we are understanding from the Lord that God is with us and that he will always be with us. So peace is attainable. Peace is attainable in him. That's why it's important for us every day to read the word. That's why it's important for us every day to pray. Because that's where our peace comes from. The story is told. We all know the story very well. And skip ahead for a few moments here. We all know the story very well that how when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples and a storm came and Jesus was sleeping and the disciples, sorry, Brother Jamal, I'm like all over the place right now, but I skipped ahead. And the disciples were, they asked Jesus, how can you be asleep when there's a storm brewing in your outside? And they were afraid. And Jesus wakes up, and you would think that, you know, disciples are afraid. Things are not going well. And guess what he does? Anyone know the story? He wakes up and he rebukes them. He said, Jesus, and Jesus will take care of us. God will give us peace. But he's not going to always pat us on the back and rub our head and say, it's okay. It's all right. Feel this way. I understand. Jesus wakes up and he rebukes. He says, oh, ye of little faith. And basically what he's saying to them, I'm in the boat and you're worried? You've seen me do all these things in front of you and you're still worried? And we can do the same thing happens to us. God will do all of these things. God has blessed me my entire life. And about a year ago, he spoke to me because I was going through an extended period of trial in my life. And I remember one day, I think it was last January or February in 2016, New York and Long Island got hit with one of those once in a century storms that seems to happen every year or every other year now. Things are changed. It happens really, really badly where it just gets really bad. And a snowstorm hit us and it was 20 plus inches of snow that came and it was windy and it was blowing. And about halfway through the day, I went outside to see if we could get some of the snow up so it wouldn't be as bad in the end. You shovel down about a quarter of the driveway and it's like, this is not going to work. And it was during that time that I was going through a situation in my life. And I went back inside and ate some things and just hanging out and chilling and went back and put on some music and started reading and stuff like that. And the Lord spoke to my heart and spoke to my heart like this. And he said, the storm that is happening outside, you're inside and everything is okay. That's the way that I want you to look at me. Storms will be happening in your life, brewing all around you. But as long as you're resting in me, you can go from here to there. I'm in my house now, and I can go get something to eat. I can relax. I can feel nice and warm and comfortable. And that's where the Lord was speaking to me and said, when you rest in my peace, The storm that is happening around you might be continuing for a little bit more, but as long as you're resting in me, you can relax and be comfortable. That's what the Lord, and we will go from that in our lives. And another personal testimony is sometime last year, I don't know if I was driving to North Carolina from New York or from Ohio to North Carolina. I forget, but I was someplace in the West Virginia, Virginia area. And those of you who drive on a road know that the weather changes boom, boom, boom like that. All of a sudden you're driving in a rainstorm and you come out and the sun is shining. And I remember driving through that, having to slow down, putting my wipers on, and it's just like, I can't see. And then I have people driving by me. I'm looking at a license plate, West Virginia license plate. I'm like, these people are crazy down here. What's going on? They must know this road better than I do. I'm like, oh, man, they're as rugged as the mountains I'm looking at out here. But anyway, I was driving really fast. No offense to anyone. But as I was driving from storm to sunshine, the Lord spoke to my heart again in my car when I was driving. And he said, that's the way life is. You just have to keep going. Storms are going to come, but they won't last. Just a little bit further down the road, and you'll see the break of sunshine coming. That's what God does for us. Same in the natural, so it is in our spiritual and emotional lives. If we just understand that weeping will endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning, God will protect us. And going back to the story about Jesus and the disciples in the boat. So Jesus rebukes them, like he does so many times when we're going through situations. Sometimes I hear people who are in the church go through stuff and they say, the Lord talked to me, and it's always a good answer that he gives to them. I'm like, I want to be like you. Because when the Lord gives me an answer, he always seems to be rebuking me and correcting me most of the time when I'm going through stuff. It's like, yeah, and the Lord says this to me and it felt so good. I'm like, really? Lord is telling me about being calm in a storm and things will go through. He's not telling me that he's going to end my situation. He's just telling me that storm is going to continue for a while. You just have to rest in me. And so Jesus and the disciples in a boat now. And Jesus, he gets up and he calms a storm. And here's one of the other things about peace. Other people are looking that we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us any indication about who saw what happened that night, besides the story from the vantage point of what happened in the boat. The disciples, the storm being calmed. Okay, we don't know what was happening on shore. We don't know if any other boats were on the sea. People were going through stuff. But when Jesus said, peace be still, the storm left, the sea calmed. And guess what? If anybody else was on the water, if anybody else was being affected by that storm, peace came to their situation also. And I bring that up to say this. When we are going through situations in our lives, people are watching us. And if we're walking in the peace of the Lord, it's a testimony to somebody else. It's a testimony to let them know that they're going through that. That situation is storming their life. The Lord gives you peace and we walk in peace. Guess what? They feel something from that. They're affected by that. Somewhere their life is affected by that, and we're a great testimony to them. So God gives us peace, not only for us, but he gives us peace for us to have peace with each other. Okay, the Bible talks about great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend him, as we talked about. And we have to be careful that we don't walk being offended by each other. We have to be careful as the children of God that we don't allow the enemy to trick us and speak to our minds and our hearts and say, you know, this one, a church doesn't like me. And anybody ever been through that, or it's just me? I don't know. Maybe I just have problems. Maybe everybody else is perfect and you're all doing great. Not me. You know, sometimes, you know, the enemy will bring things to your mind and bring things up, and you start thinking, oh, this person, you know, this, and I must be annoying them, or they're annoying me, and this, that, and we're human beings. That's basically what it comes down to. But when we trust in God, when we're walking close to the Lord, we, like I started out by saying, the closer we get to God is the less we allow the things in this world and the things that anyone else does to offend us. God will give us that peace. He talks about a peace that passes all understanding. Okay, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, we'll read this one. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Lord reminded me about this scripture a few days ago, probably last week sometime. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Think about the word their ways, our ways. What are our ways? Living for God, doing right, reading his word, okay? Doing what pleases the Lord. Those are the ways. And when we're walking in those ways, even our enemies, the Bible says, will be at peace with us. And that's hard for us to understand, but it's the word of God, and we've got to hold on to that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we'll end with this. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's one that I've had to memorize and quote years ago so that God can help me through situations that I would go through. And this is the word of God. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will keep our hearts and our minds as we are. And the meaning of being careful for nothing, you probably already know, says don't be anxious about anything. That's what that word means. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be nervous about anything. Trust God, and his peace will guard your heart, and his peace will guard your mind. We've got to hold on to this, especially in the day that we live, especially in this world. It's going to get crazy. It's crazy now. It's going to get crazier. But that's why we're going to shine forth as a light, like a city that's on a hill that cannot be hid. We're going to shine forth because people in this world are going to see us and say, how can you be so okay when things are happening and it's going crazy around us? But we know we can testify to them that it's the peace of God that passes all understanding that will keep us. God bless you. Amen.